Once again, ladies and gentlemen,
the State of Reef podcast is about the state of relationships in all aspects of your life. So check it out as we break it down for you. Me and Coach for real.
This week on the State of Reef podcast, we're going to be talking about rats, rat races, our relationships with work, and when keeping it real goes wrong.
We are back. One time for your mind, one time.
First to the finish, last to the pass. Coach for real coming at your ass.
Professor Dean, we are here live. Episode 4, everyone. Episode We're glad to be here. We are about to get this started for you, so.
Thanks for tuning in.
That's right.
This week on the State of Reap podcast, we're starting off with the shit is redonkulous.
Shit is redonkulous. What's the take this week?
What you got for us, Professor?
Professor Dean got some crazy news for you. So they took a poll, P-O-L-L, on the 50 rattiest cities in the United States of America.
And rattiest like snitches.
Bay Area, we are top 5 dead or alive, no doubt.
Top 5.
We actually are number 3 in the rattiest cities in the United States of America. And we have a couple.
What did we fall short to?
We fell short to, I believe it was coming in at number 1, Chicago, Illinois. Shot-town, USA, Chirac, hometown, home city. But anyways, Windy City. New York came in number 2. Can you believe that? State of
New York? I would think they're number 1.
Yes, man. That's unbelievable. I don't buy that, but, you know, that's just me. And then L.A. actually came in at number 3. I'm sorry. I lied. We are number 4. San Francisco, Oakland is number 4. And number 5 is Washington, D.C.
These are the states with the most rats.
Well, the funny thing is,
most rats, which one?
Well, D.C. should, in technicality, should be number 1. I'm just saying, man, because if you thought about it, I mean, you put number 5 actual rats, and then you put the rats, like the politicians up in that mug, and the lobbyists, that's a lot of rats up in there. So that's one of the top 5, Chicago, New York, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, and Washington, D.C. And yes, this topic, shit, is redonkulous. Sounds really redonkulous, but we will tie it back in later to our main topic of a discussion in relationships. So just stay tuned, everyone. All right.
Moving right along to the next segment, good reads and reviews.
Good reads and reviews. What we got, bro?
Man, for me, this week I checked out the Def Comedy Jam 25th anniversary on Netflix. For those of you who don't know anything about Def Comedy Jam, it was created by the legend Russell Simmons, who also founded Def Jam Recordings, the brother of Rev Run of Run DMC. And 25 years ago, he created a show called Def Comedy Jam.
Okay.
To, bring light to the black comedians and, give them a mainstream platform. And so this has helped launch people like Dave Chappelle, Martin Lawrence, Chris Tucker, Bernie Mac. And what's really awesome about this is that Cat Williams made an appearance, finally.
Cat Williams, the Cat Williams.
Cat Williams.
And where can they find this?
This is on Netflix.
Netflix. So it's easily accessible, outstanding tribute to some of the legends of the game and the comedy game.
Shout out to Netflix, man. Put us on.
Yes, Netflix is an amazing platform where, you know, we're getting a little bit of everything. So another shout out to Netflix for that.
Professor Dean, what reviews you got for us this week?
This week, for me, for a good reason, reviews. I'm looking at and actually reading and listening to 2 books right now. Mm-hmm. Phil Knight's new book. Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. He has a memoir out. It's called Shoe Dog. It's really a pretty well-written book. Intriguing as far as for those who are interested in entrepreneurship and just the vision of getting started.
Okay.
And his experiences with Nike. Amazing well-written book. Along with that, we have Jalen Rose from the, if you don't know who Jalen Rose is, he's one of the
Fab Five
from Michigan, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor players who shares his experience through his book, Give the People What They Want. Now, this book is obviously not new. He wrote this back in 2015, but I'm finally catching up with it. And so it's pretty impressive and well-written. And he talks about the journey of how he got to where he got to and the reinvention of himself as a basketball player to where he is now as a host on ESPN's Jalen and Jacoby. And so, yeah, go ahead, check that out. This cool book, Got to Give the People What They Want by Jalen Rose.
Give them what they want.
And Phil Knight's A Memoirs, Shoe Dog. So Those are my Goodreads reviews this week. And you can find all these books and reviews that me and Coach For Real talk about on Audible as well as
Amazon Prime
and Amazon.com. So check
what do you, that out. You prefer a paper book or listening to books?
Well, it depends. I mean, the book, sometimes, you know, with Kevin Hart, for example, it's great to hear.
You don't want to hear that, yeah.
Yeah, hear him read his own book. Jalen Rose read his own book. So those are really cool ways to learn a book is because you can actually hear, you know, the artist read his own.
Like their own story.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. This Week in Rewind.
I got an R&B cat named Brent Faiyaz. I can't really pronounce his name, to be honest.
Coach, for real, can you spell that for us?
Faiyaz. Has a new album called Saunders Son.
Saunders Son?
Yeah, Saunders Son. Saunders probably somebody. His mama or somebody.
Okay.
But
where's he from?
I think he's from L.A., man. I don't know much about the cat. He was singing a lot about L.A. and okay. The Empire of L.A.
Okay. A lot of good artists come from that area. Ben Harper, for example.
Yeah. He's Adam a good Amos. good R&B singer. He won R&B rap or trap or...
Really?
You know that style. I'm talking about that Bryson Tiller type of style.
Actually, I don't know. Tell us more about the trap life.
Well, trap life is a different topic.
Okay, okay. So he's not singing about the trap life.
No. He's singing. He's singing about his experiences, telling us a good little story.
Okay.
It was very chill music. I enjoyed listening to it. Again, that's called Saunders Son.
Saunders Son.
It was dope. If you want to hear some new R&B, a little new flavor, you know, I would check him out.
Awesome. We got to check that out then. And where can we find this music, sir?
You know, I listen to all my music on Tidal. Tidal. I'm a Jay-Z fan.
Tidal, what's Tidal?
T-I-D-A-L. Okay. That is, you know, one of Jay-Z's new streaming sources like Apple Music, Spotify.
Got you.
All of them type of things.
Okay. So Jay-Z raised you, and now you support him in that way. Okay.
Exactly.
I got you.
Get that student discount, though. It's $4.99.
Hey, claim to be a student. Even if you're not, use your old...
Put that old ID in there.
You know what I mean? That's, as long as we get that discount. Well, all right. Thank you for sharing that. For me, on my end, I have no rewind this week as far as music and what I'm...
You ain't listening to nothing this week?
Nope, not this week. I'm just listening to good old books.
So okay, okay.
We'll stay on that. All right. Jumping right into it. That dose of...
Diving right in.
Dose of reality, y'all. So this is a segment where we're just going to talk about keeping it real. And we have to just ask our coach, who's Coach For Real, about how to keep it real. And the dose of reality this week, we're going to talk about that.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
Oh, that's
is there a time not to keep it real?
So I think I've heard that on Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, you know, discuss those things as well in their skits. Give us a little bit more insight on your perspective when keeping real goes really, really wrong.
I think, keeping it real goes wrong when you're not trying to keep it real with yourself.
So what you mean? Shine on it like that.
Well, you know, in my opinion, keeping it real with yourself is the most important thing. When keeping it real goes wrong is when our egos and our pride become defensive. And then, you know, our actions begin to, like, try to prove to ourselves something instead of whatever the topic is or whatever the issue is.
Oh, your coach is getting real deep now. So, shine on, coach.
So shine on. Stun on it. But, you know, what I mean by this is, like, when we tell ourselves, you know what? I'll beat somebody up if they touch my girl's butt.
Like, okay, so you wouldn't beat somebody up if somebody touched your girl's butt, bro?
Yeah, I would, but if Mike Tyson touched my girl's butt, I'm not going to beat him up. You know? I'm going to check my ego and I'm going to check my pride and be like, okay, how could we work this situation out?
Who you going to take all that anger out on, then?
You know, I'm going to take that L personally. I'm going to keep it 100 with myself.
You're going to take that L. You're going to check your pride. Okay.
Check my pride and be like, you know, this is a situation I can't handle. I'm going to let karma handle this one because God is the greatest and he going to handle that. He going to get his. But what am I going to do to Mike Tyson?
When you're keeping it real, go straight to God. Be like, Lord, help me.
Keep it real with yourself and give it to God, to be honest with you.
Oh, you cracked
me up. We can't handle everything.
Thank you for keeping it real, coach, and the dose of reality. For me, I would just shine in briefly. Can I shine on this topic real quick?
Shine on
it. I know it's your segment, but...
Shine on
Let me stun on it real quick. So, basically, for me, what I would say is, when keeping it real goes real wrong for you, is sometimes, again, like you said, just adding on to that, when your pride actually captures the best of you, and that's not even who you really are. It's your pride.
Right.
And... A lot of times, for example, we as an educator who works in education, from being a counselor to a professor, we see this all the time. People come and they still want to keep it real, not realizing this is not where you're from anymore.
This is college.
This is college. This is not the hood. This is not your home. This is not your neighborhood. This is not, you know, what you grew up with. So they act out in a way that can create an environment for them that is actually detrimental to their education and their success. So, you know, it's not funny, but it's kind of frustrating and humorous all at the same time, because you see some of these young cats come in and they work so hard to get there to this destination that is part of their dream and their goal. And then as soon as their pride keeps it real, and when they keep it real with their pride, it captures the best of them. And they actually can put themselves in terrible situations. I've been in that situation. Coach, have you ever been in that situation?
Yeah, I've been in that situation where pride gets the best of me.
So when pride gets the best of us, and when you keep it real, and keeping it real goes wrong, like Professor Dean, you about to get kicked out, and you got to go see a dean.
Right. A real dean.
So obviously I wasn't a professor at the time, but you know, this is the problem, you know, when I was a first year, you know, first generation, first year college student. So
didn't know how to handle the situation.
Didn't know how to handle my situation, my emotions, and I kept it real with how I was raised, but you know, that's not where I was. And so those are examples of, you know, when keeping it real goes wrong, because, you know, I see a lot of folks who want to keep it real, go back to, let's say they go back to the hood or go back home and they put themselves in a bad spot and they come back, let's say, with a conduct case or a situation where now they got the law after them. And so we got to deal with those actions once we get back. And so those things are two different worlds. And that's when keeping it real can go wrong, or grabbing when the rock grabs your girl's butt at the club and you're like, this is an L I'm gonna take, because if I keep it real, it's gonna get ugly, and well, I ain't got the money and the lawyers that he got, even if I did get a good hit on the guy. But he's like 200 pounds heavier than me. My body slammed me a couple times. So you know, I'm just saying, man, he got a height and he got weight on me. So this, you know, it's like a welterweight versus a heavy weight. So that's a lost battle right there. So
yeah. In all seriousness, though, just don't let your ego get in the way of you know, your future.
So that's your dose of reality. Ego versus
reality.
Okay.
Sometimes you need your ego, but when trying to keep it real, sometimes you need to remove that and really process the situation.
Well, yeah, and if you're keeping it real, you can humble yourself.
Humble, yeah.
And check yourself and not let your ego get the best of you, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Coach, for that lesson. I appreciate that. And thank you for reminding me of my traumatic past. We're going to keep it moving.
What's your action reaction to sports this week?
Action reaction sports this week. Well, for me, I mean, I'm just going to say this one time for your mind, because I am known for one time for your mind. I don't believe in low tops in basketball, okay? So if this is kind of late, but if you all saw what happened to Mr. Gordon Hayward from the Boston Celtics, he basically dislocated his ankle in the process of flying in the air and landing on his ankle.
Yeah, I saw that.
He dislocated his ankle and broke or fractured. Fractures, you know, in the medical world, basically. It broke, bruh. It snapped.
And it was ugly.
His tibia, was it tibia?
Something. Fibula,
yeah.
Who knows?
I'm not a doctor. I'm a professor. So it snapped, and it was ugly. And it was all over the internet, and I'm sure everybody saw it if you're into sports. And so I don't believe in low top. So when Kobe came out with his low top, trying to be cute and promoting all that, you don't see nobody playing in low top Vans in basketball. Or
Chucks.
That don't make no sense. I mean, back in the day, they did. That's why they got all messed. Like, they got some messed up ass feet.
Get you some LeBrons.
You got the 60s, 70s, 80s players who played in low tops. They got some messed up ankles and feet. And so, I don't believe in that. The shoe technology is built for that, for this level of athleticism, where at that level, or even level, high school and college, I don't believe in low tops. So, that's going to be my action reaction sports take of the week, because yo, man, I don't see no more injuries like that ever. That's just, I mean, you know, praying for the dude, Gordon Hayward. Make sure he takes care of himself and he'll speedy recover, man. But damn, that shit was terrible. On television, a nationally televised game, first game of the year, competitive as hell, 5 minutes in, going up for alley-oop. Kyrie throwing it up to him, and it was terrible. So cut the low tops out, man. Don't look cute. I mean, it looks good, but it don't look cute when you break your ankles. You know what I mean? Like, literally, when somebody crosses you over, and you know, the whole point of high tops is to kind of make sure you have that, you know,
support.
The support for your ankles. Because
tape them ankles, too.
Exactly, man. Especially if you got bad ankles or you're playing against me. I'm just saying. But we'll leave it at that. All right, so we're going to keep it moving.
Moving on to the State of Reed main course conversation. Talking about our relationships with work.
Our relationship with work. What do you mean, coach?
What is your relationship with work, man? Are you overworked? Are you obsessed with work? Do you work more than 9 hours a day? What's your work-life balance? Stuff like that.
Okay, so what's your relationship with work, coach?
Man, I'm a hustler. Natural born hustler. That's
okay, Jay-Z. Okay, Jay-Z, son.
Sean
Carter Jr.
I hustle hard.
Tell us about that. What do you mean?
Man, really,
people use that word all the time. So
you know, hustling's in my nature as a man of faith. You know, James 2:15 says, faith without works is dead.
Okay.
So you got to put in that work.
Okay, now we got the pastor out of him now.
You got to put in that work. You can't just say you want to do something and not put in the work, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel you, but my problem with that is sometimes, like, what if you put in the work and you still ain't getting where you need? Like, people put in all the work all the time. So, but let me just follow up with the question then.
Mm-hmm.
You hustle all the time. Doesn't that mean you just overwork sometimes?
You know, sometimes it does. But, you know, I'm a fan of success breeding success. So that goes back to your question of you hustling and, you know, you don't see the fruits of your labor, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm doing something that's successful, that's supposed to breed success, something successful is going to come out of it.
I mean, for me, the problem with all that is, my argument is, I mean, it can become an obsession, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, definitely.
If people don't understand you, it becomes an obsession. So is that even healthy? Because I don't really think it's healthy when you're obsessed with your craft and you hustling. Like, somebody like, what you doing, babe? I'm hustling. Like, I mean, if I've been...
You
ladies going to be like, what the hell you talking about, bro? You slaying and drunk? Like, doing, bro?
You got to direct the hustle. If you work a 9-to-5... And, you know, let's say, you know, sometimes, you know, work takes more than 8 hours of your day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you work that 9-to-5, but you still got a hustler's mentality and you're trying to do your own thing so you don't got to work for somebody else for the rest of your life.
But that's some bullshit. I don't buy that.
What you saying? What you mean?
What I mean? I mean, for me, like, working, you can hustle as hard as you want, but if you don't hustle smart.
Right.
Right? Like,
I agree with that.
And in addition to that, not just being a smart hustler, but, like, what about work-life balance? What about health? You know what I mean? So, So if somebody's saying like you're obsessed with work, coach, you work too much, like you hustling hard, but because they may not understand your obsession. So for me, like when people say I'm hustling, I'm working hard, some of that stuff don't make no sense because I'm like, well, what about your health? Like you ever think about, you know, making sure you take care of yourself? Because to me, like you got to think about the American way. It's the rat race.
Yeah.
You know, tie this back into what we talk about the 50 rattiest cities in America. We always in the rat race. I mean, so literally, it's, you know, driven by the Jones. It's driven by the rat race and what's the concept of the American dream. But in reality, if you look across the world, I mean, how do you say that word? Siesta?
Siesta.
Siesta.
Like the naps.
I mean, if you look at Spain, Greece, you look around the world, countries all over the world have the siesta.
I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I feel like sometimes that gives people an excuse to not go after what they want.
Like, what do you mean?
So when I say hustle hard, of course I'm talking about the 9-to-5 that's paying your bills, but I'm also talking about pursuing that dream and pursuing that passion.
So what's, like, expand on that.
For example, like you talking about, gotta take care of yourself. I understand that point.
Yes, man, gotta have a cup of red wine,
but
smoke a good cigar.
Yeah, I feel it. Do that.
The Philippines even do it, bro.
Do that.
Costa Rica.
But
Ecuador. Nigeria. They all do it, man.
But check this out. That leaves people in that rat race. That means that they still just going to go up. They're going to do what they need to do when they're 9-to-5. Then when they come home, it's all about that self-care, right?
But it's in the middle of their day, though.
Pursue.
It's the middle of the day. Think about this. Like, you get off lunch.
So you just get stuck comfortable where you at.
Check this out. Get off lunch. Imagine this. Get off lunch. Ooh, man, I'm going to eat some spaghetti, some bomb-ass Italian spaghetti, drink a cup of red wine, smoke a cigar, sit there and watch people walk by. I take a good old nap for about 3 hours.
Shit, you know what that sounds like to me? Working at Google.
Working Facebook. At Google.
You know, you want to understand this though.
No, man.
That was created at Google and Facebook because someone was hustling and created their dream for their employees.
Okay, so expand on that. What do you mean? Like that? Hold your argument, man. What do you mean?
I'm saying you just talked about siesta time in other countries. You got companies like Google and Facebook offering siesta-like activities for their employees, right? To keep them happy, to keep them, you know, retention rates high.
Okay.
Basically, if we followed our dreams outside of our 9-to-5 and we had the hustler's mentality to what we actually want to do, the world would be a much happier place. There would be no rat race. We are pursuing what it is we love to do.
In addition, I think we can even create our own siesta on whatever time we want.
Exactly, like Google and Facebook, like those.
I don't think they create siesta.
They don't create siesta.
That's a workaholic world.
They create siesta-like world. Siesta-like activities.
So,
they got nap pods, they got food, they got gyms, all that stuff.
That's true.
So they incorporated self-care into that work life.
So that you never leave, you keep rat racing for them, though.
Yeah, but see,
that's what the truth is. Silicon Valley should be the number one. Actually, DC's still number one. DC is still the rattiest. Number two, the Bay Area.
Silicon Valley. And then LA.
All the roaches and rats.
Yeah, man. You see them on the freeway driving.
Anyway, we're off topic. People going to think, what is these two talking about? They have to do with anything that we're going to talk about. Back to the relationship with our work, real quick. So you're holding your argument that if you hustle hard enough, you can create your own siesta, you can create your own environment.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of hustling hard and being focused on your work. Okay.
Don't hustle hard so you can work more.
I mean, for me, like I said, I just think that, and I mean this sincerely, if you look at one of the top killers in our country when it comes to health, it's stress.
Stress
is the root and cause of all health issues, from heart disease, depression, suicide, mental health issues down the road, like Alzheimer's, Lewy dementia, all these things that cause people to have health issues later on in their life.
Right.
Is stress.
Yeah.
And so Americans have a high...
We got a high stress level, man.
Exactly, man. So my biggest issue is it's not something that people need to take seriously, because people get caught up in that rat race. People get caught up in trying to be this polished, hard hustling, you know, worker for the company. When in reality, that company is just going to use you for your labor.
Yeah, that hard hustling mentality to be for yourself. So, I hustle hard for me, not the company.
So, I mean, and that's the thing, right? So, if you're going to hustle hard for yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, what do you mean by that? Expand that.
Hustle hard for your purpose. You know, a lot of us, I feel, you know, in the work, I'm in that 9-to-5 rat race too, you know, and I have my own realization that I have been hustling and it's still, you know, underappreciated, undervalued, when I could have been putting that same energy.
But why are you crying? Are you a hustler? Like, we all hustle hard. We all get no.
Exactly. But I could have been putting out the energy in my passion.
Okay.
My own company.
Okay, so you say hustle hard for your what?
For my passion, my journey. Okay. Not that promotion. I mean, the promotion is worthless. It's the same race.
Exactly.
I'm trying to create my own lane.
Okay. So basically hustle hard for your own personal...
For your lane.
For your personal
Instead of lane. Running in somebody else's lane.
Got you. And I still stand by the argument that you got to have work-life balance. So if you're overworked and you work too hard and you're worrying about that promotion and all those things.
Light one.
Coach, I agree with Coach in that part. You got to hustle for yourself. In addition to that, you got to really value your work-life balance. And taking some time off, really, if you look at the rates in the United States and how much we use our vacation dates and how many vacation dates are offered and how many Americans use. We're not using them. We're not even in the top 10, I believe.
Mm.
So that's something that's really interesting, because around the world, people, you know, use their vacation days. They take time off. They have paid holidays. They have, you know, when a woman or a man and they're having a child in the family, they have maternity leave, and people use those maternity leaves. And so a lot of times we don't use all those things. So just something to think about when it comes to work-life balance, because that's a real issue, which ends up affecting your relationships in your life, right? So your relationship with your work can eventually lead to trauma in relationship in other areas of your life, from your health, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your spouse or your partner, relationship with your kids and your children, relationship with your friends and your family. So those are real issues when it comes to relationships and how they're affected by your job. So that's something to think about, man, because work-life balance is really, really crucial. So that's just where I stand.
You know, from my perspective, for me, I agree with you. I'll stick to my argument, man. Hustle hard.
Go get it.
Right? But one thing that I've learned is to hustle smart, not hard.
Okay.
There has to be some sort of balance.
And I'll just close it out like this. At the end of, make sure you take some time to always have a cup of red wine.
Unplug.
Take care of yourself.
Have a cigar.
And you know, because if your relationship with your job is how people remember you, just think about that.
Like, I got an example. I know a dude named, I'm not going to say his name. I'm going to say his name. His name is Al. None of y'all know him. But Al is a 75-year-old teacher, special ed, right?
Mm-hmm.
This dude, Al, has survived his motorcycle falling off of a mountain.
Damn.
He has some sort of cancer.
Oh, wow.
And this dude still rides his motorcycle today. He rides I think it's called an Indian.
Okay.
An Indian bike. And I asked him, I said, do you think part of the reason you're still alive today is because you do what you love to do? And he goes, yeah, outside of the job, I do something I love to do every day. Whether it's riding his bike, whether it's shooting his pistol, whether it's having a cigar. He does something he loves to do every single day.
That's a deep take. And for me, every single day, I would love to have a cup of Pinot Noir, red wine,
as you should,
and siesta for about 5 hours.
Do it, my brother.
Right.
On that note, we're going to close up that conversation. And, so after that conversation, what is it that you learned, rethought, anything like that? What's your thought process on that?
I mean, for me, something to rethink for all our listeners out there, as well as for myself, is just something that comes to my mind. When I get up to go to work, from the time I brush my teeth to the time I get in the car and come home from work, if work is still in my head by the time I enter my door, I know that it's occupying maybe 12 hours of my day, if not more.
Yeah.
Getting ready for bed if you're thinking about work. If you're checking your emails while you're laying in bed, that's how much, the workforce, the rat race drama can dominate your world. And so that's just something to think about, man. Take note of that. You can even write it down in your journal or something and just count how many times, once you're supposedly off from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or 10 to 7, whatever your hours are.
Whatever it is.
And think about how many times work comes up and the stress that brings to you and how it messes with your spirituality, your emotions, your mentality, and your physical well-being. That's something that we need to really reconsider and think about. So for me, that's something to rethink. What about you, Coach?
Something I rethink was as I was reading the Forbes article on some of the top Fortune 500 CEOs. And
shine on that.
It was an article on their sleep schedules.
Sleep schedules, okay.
And, they scheduled sleep. Okay. That's one thing, they scheduled sleep.
That's deep.
So it dove into their routines, what time they woke up, the time they went to bed, and what they did in between. Obviously, being a CEO took up a large part. But before they got to work, the trend that I saw was they did something non-work related.
Okay.
So it was workout, run, someone did a paint class. Someone they always did something for themselves before they got to work.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And then after work, it was always some sort of unwind session. So it was always like a lunch meeting or something like that.
Okay.
So something I really learned was to incorporate that in my day.
Okay.
That schedule before work. So getting up at 5, get a workout in, and then go to work.
And that's something to think about, too. That's something to relearn and implement in our system of how we deal with this rat race we call
the rattiest.
The rattiest cities in America.
The rattiest cities in America. That goes hand in hand with the busiest cities in America, which means the most rat race life.
Rat race driven cities
in America.
Exactly. Yeah. Let alone the world. But with that being said, we thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in.
For episode 4.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
That's right. And this is the State of Re podcast. With State of Re, dealing with anything that deals with the relationships of your life.
You can check us out on Facebook at The State of Re. You can find me, Coach For Real, on Instagram at For Real Khalil.
And Instagram. And for myself, Professor Dean, D-E-A-N. You can find me _Professor Dean at Instagram. We will put up a Twitter soon, so y'all can send us questions and feedbacks and different topics you want us to cover. We definitely want to continue to expand on this platform for everybody out there that's interested in having conversations about relationships. And it's not always about, you know, love and all these other things, but actual relationships that we take for granted and overlook. And today's topic, for example, was work. Right. So we just want to thank you all for listening.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. We love y'all. We love y'all. We appreciate you. On that note,
peace.
Peace.
Just real quick, though, I do want to give a quick shout out to our good friend, Eli. We're praying for you, big guy. We love you. He suffered some trauma recently, so just want to send out some prayers and good thoughts and good vibes. Heal quickly. And we thank you all, to our listeners, for listening and dialing in. Appreciate it. Have a safe and great weekend. Blessings. And a quick shout out to all our veterans out there and all those that serve. We appreciate you. Thank you for your service.
Signed sincerely, Professor Dean.
Coach For Real.
And remember, everybody, we are relationships and who we invest in. Signing off.